Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today for Tuesday, July 6, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Slingbox. Watch your favorite TV shows when you're away from home with Slingbox. Check them out at Best Buy or at slingbox.com. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Becky Worley.
Behind the boards, our excellent producer, Eric Lanigan. How you doing, Eric?
Good. How are you guys?
This is the show where we kick around the tech news of the day along with you and try to make some sense out of it all. Or at least have some fun with it. This will be our last show, though, because Prince has declared the internet's over.
So sad. I really enjoyed working with you. And, you know, Prince, he knows.
I think we could plan to continue to put it out on VHS and deliver it in your morning paper.
Yeah, we'll transcribe it and just put it straight into the paper. And also, is he the artist formerly known as Prince?
No, he's Prince again. Prince? He got his name back. The way I understand it, and I've never really tracked this down to be sure, but he lost the rights to put out albums as Prince unless he put them out with a record company that was mad at. And so that's when he changed his name to the symbol because he was able to put out his album wherever he wanted then.
But now he's putting out his album only through the newspaper, not through the internet.
Well, this is the crazy thing, right? Okay, the guy just goes on a little rant about how the internet's like MTV. At one time, MTV was hip. Suddenly, it became outdated. All these computers and digital gadgets are no good. They just fill your head with numbers, and that can't be good for you. It's like, what? Then he goes and he puts his new album out exclusively as a CD mixed into the Saturday Daily Mirror in the United Kingdom. So he's putting it out digitally on a device that needs a gadget to play. And you know what his music is on that disc? It's a bunch of numbers. I don't get it.
Well, I think you've missed the artistry, the mastery of the man that is Prince. But I mean, he's wackadoo. He's a total wackadoo. But it is interesting. He doesn't let his music go out over iTunes. He doesn't let his music go out on YouTube. His complaint in an interview he did with The Mirror, I think, was with The Mirror, right? The guy that he talked to. He said, I don't like the fact that they don't pay me in advance for my music on the internets. And that was his big complaint.
Well, okay.
Not to mention the numbers.
That has nothing to do with the internet. He's acting like the internet is a company. Like, you know that internet company, they just don't want to pay me enough for... Put your music out yourself. Sell it yourself. You don't have to go through anybody. I understand he's saying the iTunes won't give me an advance. iTunes won't give me the percentage I want. So be mad at iTunes. That's fine.
But
it's like getting... If you want to use his own analogy, it's like saying, you know, MTV is screwing me over. MTV's no good anymore. So television is dead. No one's going to watch television anymore.
The best part about this to me is the backstory that he had a website called lotusflower.com. And of course, the E in flower was actually the number 3. It has been shut down, but fans had to pay $77 a year to get new albums, exclusive content, unreleased tracks. And then they paid the $77 and he never fed the website. And then it re-upped them the next year without their consent and charged another $77 to some people's credit cards. And then they just closed the site.
Well, that was the artistry you're talking about.
Yeah,
it was a comment on the value of the internet.
All I can say is the music better be good. I mean,
well, who's going to hear it? Unless you happen to pick up that newspaper and get the free CD that he's not charging for.
Okay, but wait, this could actually be genius because what he could be doing is by distributing this in CD format, people are going to have to rip it, put it on pirate sites, and share it through file sharing. So maybe what he's actually trying to do is keep file sharing alive.
Maybe, you know what? That's the only thing that makes about as much sense as anything he said. I'll give you that. All right, on to some actual news. Netflix has struck a deal with Relativity Media that gives them access to movies in the on-demand or premium movie space. Now, let me explain what that means. If you don't know how this works, when movies are released on DVD. That's the first stage of licensing. They get to be sold on DVD. Then after they've been on sale for DVD for a while, then they're given, I think even before DVD, they go pay-per-view. I'm missing a step. So it's pay-per-view and airplanes. Then they get sold on DVD. And then after a while, they get put out for premium access. And that's when you see them on HBO and Stars. And so Netflix has to play in this universe when they want to stream a movie. And that's why you'll see movies show up on Netflix and then disappear, because it's going through this torturous Baroque licensing chain. Relativity Media are one of the companies that license out movies during that premium phase, the ones that you see on HBO, on pay-per-view, on demand, that kind of thing. So Netflix striking a deal with them is another step towards Netflix being able to help us get rid of this ancient way of licensing movies for people to watch.
And this is really key for streaming movies, because if you've used Netflix over the Roku box or over one of your consoles, it's really not the best selection of current movies. So this could be a harbinger of things to come if this model works well. And Relativity Media is not a big studio, but it's an interesting precedent to set. I think, you know, this is interesting, too, because I wonder if this will... This puts them in direct competition with your HBOs and with your Stars and what have you. So,
and with
a month, you get a disc and you can stream. But for HBO, it's more like $14 a month, so a little cheaper. I mean, if people are really doing the dollars and cents, I don't know.
And really, this system was created when people didn't have access to more than one way to get a movie. So you would never know this really intricate system existed, because, you know, you would see the movie in the theater, or you would see it on the plane, or get it through pay-per-view, or you would go buy the DVD. There was never a point where you thought you should have access to that movie at any given time. The internet has changed that. Now it's kind of ripped down the curtain, and we realize we could watch a movie at any time we want. The technology is there that didn't exist before. And so this old way of doing things that was formed by the restrictions of how people could watch is gone, but we still have to follow it. So my thought here is that Netflix, as it strikes deals with Relativity Media, and it has done so with Stars, which is one of the way you see current movies on Netflix, will help us to just tear this whole system apart. Because if Netflix, and there's a Viacom company called Epix that does the same thing, where they buy these rights and then stream it online, and maybe Hulu does the same thing, then once they've struck enough deals, they can have a movie on from start to finish without having it pass out of their control. And once that happens, these exclusives and these weird deals with HBO can just go away. And HBO can become a technology company as well that streams movies, or better yet, makes money off of their amazing original programming.
And a quick sidebar on why Netflix might want to really get into the streaming business. So there's a postage hike going into effect, 7% on media mail. And there are some estimates that the cost of sending out DVDs to all of us Netflix subscribers could cost Netflix an extra $50 million a year just from this postage increase that's coming down the pike. So streaming, important for the future of their business, but also just from, you know, the dollars and cents and the profit margin for what they're doing today.
Exactly, because paid content points out that the primary business for Netflix is still mailing you those DVDs. All right, the iTunes store appears to have been hacked over the weekend, and Gadget reported an inexplicable uptick in sales of book apps. Now, these are not books in the iBook store. These are apps that are books in and of themselves, by a developer identified as Tuat Nguyen. According to the blog, at the time of writing its report, Nguyen apps accounted for 42 of the top 50 books. People were reporting that they had suspicious transactions from their iTunes accounts in the area of $40 to $50, sometimes more, even up to several hundred dollars. And what we think was going on was someone was hacking into iTunes accounts and then spending money buying apps from this developer, and that thereby raising them in the most sold list, or top grossing list, by artificially inflating the number of people buying them.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because we think of the iTunes store as a walled garden where someone's looking at all the apps and making sure they're legit. So this, I think, really shakes the underpinnings there. Apple has issued a statement. I know they told Engadget's Joshua Topolsky, if your credit card or iTunes password is stolen, We recommend you contact your financial institution, check for any unauthorized transactions, change your iTunes password immediately. But this looks like it's a pretty big consumer issue, because it's not just this one developer where this has been happening. There have been some cases pointed out where there are a lot more developers who are doing this kind of fraud.
Yeah, the blog called TheNextWeb.com did some research and uncovered a company called Charismaist, which had been reported to have been the subject of some of the people who had their iTunes accounts hacked bought Charismaist apps. It doesn't mean Charismaist is up to something bad, but it looks kind of weird. The Weishi network has 29 out of the 50 apps in the travel category. That seems a little much. That seems a little odd that you'd have that many. They point out Storm 8 as an example of this, although Storm 8's been around for a while, and Storm 8 actually responded and said, you know, we don't do this kind of thing. Most of our games have been in the App Store for over a year. Our games are free to download and play. You know what Storm 8 does? I know how they get up there in the games list. They give you free in-game points when you download one of their other apps and activate it. And so that gets them a download in the links. And then they sell different versions of their apps that give you in-game points. So there's a lot of gaming of the system that goes on in the iTunes store, but this, the company, or Tuet Nguyen, was the worst example we've seen so far. And the weird thing is, we don't know for sure. Apple hasn't admitted that accounts were hacked. They've just said, here's what to do if your account gets hacked. They haven't come right out and said, yes, accounts were hacked. And we don't know how they would have got hacked in the first place.
And, you know, one good tip that has been given is this is a good reason to use the iTunes gift cards, because you're not tying it to a credit card. You're not tying it to, and you definitely don't want this tied to anything that's a debit card. But definitely iTunes gift cards, this is where it makes sense. Not to mention you can buy them at Costco at Christmas for like a 10 or 15% discount. That's my insider secret tip.
Yeah, so if you do that, take your credit card off your iTunes account. It will make it a little harder to buy stuff. I'll give you that. But then you can use the iTunes gift card, and that should balance things out.
Right.
This episode of Tech News Today is brought to you by Slingbox. Slingbox lets you watch your home TV wherever you are. And I was telling some examples previously of how I've used Slingbox, like at the World Cup, to watch the World Cup and on vacation. I have to say, There's lots of great situations you can be in where you can use the Slingbox to extend it around the house. You don't even have to be gone. If you want to just watch it in the kitchen and you've got an iPhone or a BlackBerry or an iPad or something like that, you can just fire it up and actually watch the game or watch the movie or whatever in whatever room you're in with your mobile device. So you don't have to miss a bit. So you don't have to leave your house to take advantage of Slingbox. There's lots of good ways to use it. If you want to see it in action, you can head over to Best Buy. They do demonstrations of them. Or you can just buy one. You know, go to Best Buy, purchase Slingbox, bring it home. It's easy to hook up. You hook it up to your TV and your internet connection. You watch your TV on your mobile phone or your laptop, wherever you go. Whatever programs you have, by the way, no extra subscription. It's whatever programs you get, and it includes your DVR program. So the stuff you've got recorded, pre-recorded shows from your DVR. I'm thinking about using it when I move, because I won't have my new DirecTV hooked up at the house until Sunday. And I'm moving on Saturday, and I'm thinking they won't cut off my service until Sunday, so I could use Slingbox to actually watch from my old place where the satellite's still there. I'll just leave one box hooked up over there.
And isn't Sunday morning the World Cup final?
Oh, don't tell me about that. That's going to be a race. I need them to get that hooked up. Actually, I can watch it over the air because it's on ABC, so I can just watch over the air. Anyway, if you want to find an in-store demo at a Best Buy near you, visit slingbox.com. The United States is going to press criminal charges against Private First Class Bradley Manning. He's the guy who allegedly leaked information to WikiLeaks.
Yeah, this 22-year-old Private First Class has been charged with conduct being prejudicial to good order and discipline in the armed forces, which threatened to bring discredit upon the armed forces. This is Zenny Jardin of Boing Boing, who's doing some really good reporting on this. The Army hasn't specifically acknowledged the leaks or exactly what was sent out, but this is a case which could lead to 52 years of imprisonment if he is convicted.
Yeah, he's believed to be the person who leaked the so-called collateral murder video. And they haven't come out and said which video they're after him for, but it does match the date. I believe it was July 12th of last year. If I'm not mistaken, could be mistaken on that, but it does match the date of that video. So looks like that's it. Also, people who don't have vision will be able to drive cars soon.
Well, maybe.
A newly developed driving interface may let blind people independently drive cars on the open road. The project began as part of the DARPA Grand Challenge to develop a vehicle that could drive itself. But later, the same group received a grant from the National Federation of the Blind to incorporate the laser detection system that allowed the car to navigate and detect obstacles into an interface that could be understood through other senses than light.
Now, let me stop you right there, because when I first read this story, I thought, oh, okay, this makes perfect sense. A car that can drive itself, so it will give people who are visually challenged the opportunity to have the freedom that we all want, that we get from driving.
Right.
Then I read a little deeper. This is not specifically about a car that will drive itself. This is about creating tactile feedback mechanisms that help the blind to drive. And we have some video of them explaining one of these feedback mechanisms.
One of the key technologies that we develop is called AirPix. You can think of AirPix as a computer monitor for the blind. It's like a tablet device. Think of an air hockey table. There's a lot of holes on it. Compressed air comes out. So the user can move his or her hand over it and actually see the environment around the vehicle.
So I just want you to imagine that the steering wheel has these like air hockey pockets of you know, vents coming out, and you've got one hand driving the wheel and the other feeling where the obstacles are in front of you. The video that they showed explaining this and one of the other technologies called the drive grip, which is a set of gloves that vibrate on your knuckles to tell the driver when it's time to turn, it was incredible. It was a scientific breakthrough. It scared me to death as a pedestrian.
Well, like, you have to remember, because a lot of people in the chat room are making jokes about this and or having the same concerns. This is in development. This is not something they're going to put on the road tomorrow until it has been thoroughly safety tested. But what is amazing is there have been a lot of studies that showed people can visualize the area around them using different senses. You can reprogram your senses to see a lot. So it's quite possible that if you match up that ability with the new abilities for cars to almost drive themselves, that you could do this. What I wonder is, will we get to the point where nobody is really driving their car themselves before this becomes viable?
Well, I'm hoping that will solve the texting and driving problem, because we'll all just text and drive and let the cars drive themselves, except when the air blows in our face and we know we have to grab the wheel and avoid something.
Well,
it's crazy talk.
We won't need to grab the wheel at all. I mean, eventually you'll have self-driving cars. We're almost there right now. It'll just be a matter of psychology, of people giving up the idea of control. And what's happening is we're being slowly boiled, if you will, into doing that with the automatic parallel parking and the backup camera and the collision avoidance. This stuff is being put into cars slowly. And I would say in 100 years, all of a sudden, we'll look up and go, wait a minute, I'm not really doing anything. This car's driving itself.
Yeah, I'm ready. 100 years, it'll take me that long to wrap my head around it, and I'll be long dead. But man, this is just crazy story. They're going to actually debut one of these cars at the Rolex 24 at Daytona on January 29th, 2011. I put it on my calendar. I'm going to be there. I'm going to go shoot that story. That is crazy talk.
It's good stuff. And would be an amazing breakthrough if they can make
yes.
it work safely.
And one more thing.
Yes.
If you think about it,
yes,
tactile
Steve Jobs.
Feedback, you know, a lot of the people that were interviewed in the video there that we just pulled an excerpt from, they were showing how, you know, it worked for them. And many of them carried canes. And if you think about it, the cane is just tactile feedback coming back about what's going on in your environment. So why couldn't this be used for walking or for, I don't know, whatever else is self-propelled.
You could replace the cane. Absolutely. That'd be like a half step to testing the technology. That's a great idea.
There.
On to Hulu Plus. We reported last week that it looked like you would have to pay for PlayStation Plus in order to use the Hulu Plus app on the Sony store, on the Sony PlayStation 3, I mean. It turns out that is not technically true. Just during the Hulu Plus alpha, or the Hulu Plus demonstration period, or whatever you want to call it, is Hulu Plus being limited to people who pay for PlayStation Plus? Sony says that once the beta period is over for the Hulu Plus app, the preview period is what they're calling it, you will be able to get the Hulu Plus app without having to pay for PlayStation Plus. You'll still have to pay for the Hulu Plus service, the $10 a month, but you won't have to pay for PlayStation Plus to use it.
And Hulu Plus, just to remind you, is the extended access to more shows, more service. It's a $9.99 a month paid content platform where you can watch Hulu on a lot of your mobile devices. And I got a password to try this out, and it was pretty amazing. I was watching pieces of Saturday Night Live while sitting in the O'Hare Airport. And over 3G.
Well, you could watch pieces of Saturday Night Live before. I guess it's just you couldn't do it on the app, right?
I'm not sure what the difference was. I just was impressed that there was a pretty big...
You were watching it on the iPad. Yeah, you couldn't do that before.
And I thought that the content categories were pretty amazing. And I got to just tell you, I was at the little play area at the O'Hare Airport while we were 5 hours delayed. And I had my kids, so they're playing, they're happy. I'm just checking out this Hulu Plus thing. A woman walks past me with her kid. She's got a tiger print tattoo over her entire face and body. It was one of the stranger things I've ever seen in my life.
Just her, though, not the kid?
No, just her.
Yeah, so you didn't feel so geeky with your iPad then?
No, I just had nothing to do with technology. I just had to tell that story. It was one of the crazier things I've ever seen.
Now it can be told. Tiger Lady exists at O'Hare.
And I thought my kids were going to give me a hard time for being a little odd.
Well, you were thinking about doing that, aren't you?
Well, someone once said deciding to have kids is like getting a tattoo on your face. And this was another mom who had both.
That woman obviously tried it first.
And a tattoo on her face.
I want to compare this. She's a scientist. She wants to find out if that's true.
She has no commitment issues. Very impressive.
Obviously not. Following up another story from last week, we talked about the Immigration Service capturing domain names, storming registrars, seizing ninjavideo.net and tvshack.net, and keeping the world safe from piracy. It turns out that pretty much all of those sites are back up and running with new servers, new domain name registrations, this time using Chinese registrars and a Cocos Islands top-level domain name. So tvshack.cc is now the new location. They didn't get rid of these sites at all. They didn't do anything. And now they're out of reach. They just drove them out of their reach. So there's nothing the Immigration Service or the state of Kentucky apparently was involved in this somehow can do about these.
And then, you know, the interesting paradigm here is that people who are downloading illegal videos or pirated videos or whatever you want to call them, undocumented videos, they are people who already know that, hey, you got to ferret out the good stuff and it's always moving, and they're willing to do the work. So this seems like it was all for naught.
All right. Finally, before we got a couple stories before we get to the calendar. Blizzard recently put in a new system that requires you to use your real ID. Or doesn't require. It allows you to use your real name in something called Real ID. So if you're playing one of their games like World of Warcraft, you can, with your permission, reveal your real name to someone you're playing with. And this is nice so that instead of looking on and seeing like, oh, look, it's Zaynar and GURP and Bob X, you'll actually know, like, oh, it's Catherine and Tom and Mark. They're all on plan right now, which is kind of nice because people have multiple characters. So now you don't have to know necessarily all their characters to know who's on. They've taken it another step here, Becky, and now they're requiring you to use that real name if you want to post to any of their official forums.
Do you think this is just to keep flame wars at a minimum, or what do you think the motivation is?
I think it is in a big way trying to keep flame wars at a minimum, because that's what people do when they start to argue about this stuff and they hide behind that anonymity. But does it go too far? Does it actually reduce the usefulness of a forum when you say your real name is going to be on every post you do?
It's interesting because, you know, social networking has come up so massively in the last 4 or 5 years, and you see it. That the fact that we all have an identity online and we're responsible for who we are, that's now trickling back to some of these, you know, social interactions that existed before Facebook and MySpace and everybody having a blog.
I think this is a really good idea. And I think it's a really good way to test it, to see if it would work in other contexts, to say, look, you know what, you want to trash the Blizzard guys for changes they make in the game. You want to, you know, have a flame war against some other guy who's alliance when you're Horde or vice versa. you're going to have to own up to that. You're going to have to be who you are there. And you can still have your character name next to it, but it does take away a little bit of the old-fashionedness of the forum. You know, all the guys from Blizzard who post on the forums there actually have names like Ghostcrawler, which is kind of cool. But now you'll see like, oh, it's Greg Street.
Okay. Roger that, rubber ducky.
Yeah, it's kind of like if they went into CB and said, no, you can only...
Roger that, Jim Smith.
Listen, big Brazier, you're going to have to go by Tom Merritt for now. All right, finally, IBM is using hot water to cool a supercomputer and saving energy in the process.
This is really interesting. I mean, the whole concept of having these big server rooms that are hot, 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 and now a much more carbon neutral way of cooling them down, right, Tom?
Yeah, the AquaSAR cooling system uses water at a temperature of up to 140 degrees. However, that's still cool relative to the heat coming off the processor, so it consumes up to 40% less energy than comparable air-cooled machine. System also uses the waste heat to provide warmth to the university building's heating system, so during the winters anyway, it's actually saving even more energy. The AquaSAR system achieves a performance of 6 teraflops, has an energy efficiency of about 450 megaflops per watt. In addition, 9 kilowatts of thermal power are fed into the ETH Zurich's building heating system. So just if you're into cooling system, if you're into supercomputers, or if you're into saving energy and being green, you're going to like this story.
Yeah. And two cool things. If you weren't watching this, we were just showing some B-roll of how this works. It looks like a radiator that's running in and around all of the components of your server. And it's rolling that water through there. And the breakthrough here is that the water can be up to 140 degrees. It doesn't have to be pre-cooled, which then would take energy to get the temperature of the water down. And it can also just be recirculated over and over again with minimal cooling in between times. So I think it's really neat.
Finally, we talked about Woot getting sold to Amazon last week. Apparently, the Associated Press reported on that acquisition. Fair enough. The Associated Press also quoted some of the hilarious blog posting from Woot.com about the acquisition in their story. The Associated Press, if you don't know, not too long ago put in place requirements saying anyone who quotes an AP story anywhere has to pay them. And they put forth how much you have to pay them per sentence or per paragraph. So Woot noticed that the AP was quoting their blog and used the AP's rate card to determine that the AP now owes them $17.50.
Take that, AP.
Woot says, hey, we're all friends here. Invoicing is such a hassle in today's paperless society. Are we right? How about this? Instead of cutting us a check for the web content you liberated from our site, all you'll need to do is show us your email receipt from today's 2-pack of Sennheiser MX400 in-ear headphones, and we'll call it even.
And they're still available. I just went to check.
AP has no excuse. They can't say, oh, you ran out.
Yeah, you know how Woot goes through those deals wicked fast.
I think this is hilarious. I mean, it's just, you know what? Good on Woot for bringing this back up and shining a light on the ridiculous policy of the AP in this.
My sidebar on this is I wonder how Woot's sort of corporate goofiness is going to be affected by the Amazon acquisition. We'll see if they're loose in the future or if they're completely buttoned down with the Seattle Bezos mentality.
Yeah, it's a good question. We will see it. So far, earlier indications are it is not going to be any more buttoned down than it has been ever.
Good. Keep it that way.
On to the calendar.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff. I'm trying to get through some of these things quickly. The Twitter for BlackBerry app is in full launch starting tonight. I just got an email from the folks over at BlackBerry saying this is going to go out and be the full application is available for download starting tonight. Tom, you mentioned this one, Comic-Con, starting July 22nd, so mark your calendars in San Diego. And I just went to see, oh, well, hey, I've never been. Maybe I should go. And it's hard to get in?
Not impossible. It's mostly impossible because they sell out really early. They sell out almost a year in advance. But they just released what they call returned memberships. These are people who bought memberships and then turned them back in. So they have extra passes available right now. If you can navigate their site and figure out how to get one, you might have a chance of getting a pass at the last minute.
This is totally shameless crowdsourcing my Good Morning America stories. I'm doing a story on gear that helps seniors. I'm going to be talking about e-readers and Audible books and anything else that really helps make life better for the over 60 set. If anybody has something that they've found for themselves or their parents, I would love to hear about it. I'm B. Worley on Twitter. So send me any ideas for good geeky gadgets for seniors.
And
you have an idea?
Well, I forgot to mention that I'm going to be at Comic-Con, by the way. So I may be doing tech news today from San Diego.
Excellent. I like it. On location, Tom Merritt. Finally, the Freelancer.com Fast 50 came out today. And these are the fastest growing freelance jobs online as they see it. And this is really interesting. And I think for folks who are trying to sort of reinvent themselves, if you can code, if you can program, if you can design, here are the places where there are a lot of jobs evolving. So number one, geolocation, a 900% jump in jobs available for freelancers who can do something for geolocation. HTML5, obviously Steve Jobs is spurring growth here by refusing to use Flash. Amazon Web Services, a 450% jump in jobs available. Mobile phone development. Salesforce.com, people who can program and do stuff for Salesforce.
Brochure design.
Hey, you can do that. You could make a mean brochure, Tom.
I've been known to make a mean brochure.
Pretty interesting, though. I mean, so many people are trying to find new jobs and figure out how to reinvent themselves. And they're like, well, what do I go study? What's going to be hot now or in the future? I think this is actually a pretty good indication, especially if you're trying to do stuff online. So check
on
that out.
To the voicemails, our caller today wants to know if the iPad actually could be a killer.
Hey, everyone. This is Gary from Greeley, Colorado, and I really enjoy the show, hate the theme song, and I guess the new buzz phrase is form factor. But my question actually is, do you think that the iPad could be the MacBook Air killer? I mean, do you think that could be the death knell for the MacBook Air? Why would they still want to offer the Air if they still have, if they have this iPad? Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Good question. Is the iPad the MacBook Air killer? No. I think that the MacBook Air is slowly bleeding out on the side of the road while the iPad drives by in its Corvette. So in the sense that it didn't stop to help the MacBook Air, perhaps it is culpable in some way. But no, MacBook Air is kind of dying on its own. I don't know. What do you think, Becky? Extra nail in the coffin there?
Well, you know, there's some people who are just really need a keyboard. I mean, my parents travel with their laptop and they bring a plug-in keyboard. Some people need that keyboard. I/O is critical for them. So if that's you and you just hate the virtual keypad, maybe. But I don't know. I mean, at that point, why not just get a MacBook Pro? You get so much more out of it.
We should explain to the younger members of the audience that the MacBook Air is a lightweight laptop that Apple came out with several years back that doesn't have a magnetic hard drive. It has a solid-state hard drive, and it's very thin. It could fit inside an envelope.
And I can't remember, the battery life was the big push when they originally sold it. But you know, compared to the battery life on the iPad is just, for the plane, forget about it. It's amazing.
If you, like Gary, would like to call the show, give us a ring. 260-TNT-SHOW is the number. On to the emails. For that, you send it to tnt@twit.tv. What do we got for our first one?
As a follower of all things royal, this is from Greg in Canada, I believe. You might be interested that the Queen made a stop yesterday at Research in Motion at RIM to watch the manufacturing team work. Living in the Kitchener-Waterloo area, the visit stirred up some excitement. Was too short for most to try and get a glimpse of the Queen. But at the end of her tour, she received a BlackBerry Bold White 9700 as a gift, proving that white is the color of phones. And probably being the Queen, she could have it because it is summer and it would match her white shoes and her white purse and no doubt a white hat.
Because it is between Memorial Day and Labor Day. So you carry the white BlackBerry until after Labor Day when you switch to the black BlackBerry.
That is right. And she also went to a movie studio up in Toronto and tried on some pretty swanky 3D glasses that did not match her hat or outfit. We have video of her there. So there's something just kind of epic about when the queen does something that the common folk do like putting on the 3D glasses.
You know, those 3D glasses look pretty dang good on the queen. She can pull off anything. I don't know what it is.
She's like, I will go see the Avatar now.
We shall enjoy the Avatar. Do you think there is a royal BlackBerry holder? There's like someone who in her retinue whose job it is to carry the BlackBerry.
Yeah, the coachman is now the cell phone holder.
Right.
Who knows?
In BlackBerry livery. All right, on to David Bird, the astrophysicist in Adelaide, South Australia, who is currently working as an RF specialist and would know, says one implication I have yet to hear discussed about the iPhone 4 antenna issue is the fact that the iPhone is a two-way radio, and the antenna attenuation issue means that the phone also has to transmit about 20 decibels more RF power out to be heard by the cell tower. He goes on to explain that there's a couple implications to this. So if you're holding it in your left hand and you're decreasing the attenuation, the phone will up the broadcast in order to be heard by the tower, thinking that it's farther away from the tower. This means decreased battery life because it's spending more power to broadcast, and significantly increased RF power being transmitted through your hand or your head, depending on how you're holding it.
And I think, as I recall, the iPhone wasn't as high on the spectrum of the radiation fears that everyone has. It was the BlackBerry that was really off the charts, that was close to the SAR levels. I don't know if this is comparable, but...
Right, but I guess the point being that, you know, it's not just that you don't get as good of reception. You also are killing your battery and pumping more RF around your head. And even if it's not dangerous, the less RF you expose yourself to, the better.
You know what? I'm just ticked about the battery. I mean, that's the thing that for most people are like, yeah. RF, I'm getting...
So
getting it six ways to Sunday. But the battery, it's a really good point.
Spend a dollar, get some kind of charity bracelet, wrap it around your phone. Done.
Or scotch tape.
Yeah. On to the next email.
Is this me?
Yep, that's you.
Okay, right. I'm so on top of it. Sorry, but
hey, it's been like a week since you did this, right?
Where am I? Is it fireworks? Is that just in my head?
Who's watching the twins?
All right. Hey, TNT, with all of the talk about iPhones with bigger GBs, I think he means, what do you think he's talking about? Gigabytes? What are you talking about?
It's a reference to that YouTube video. Yeah, it's gigabytes.
Okay, guys, just making sure. Okay, I'm just making sure. Droid X and Evo, with all the talk about this, there's been little talk about the Galaxy S line Samsung will be putting out on every carrier in the coming months. Quick breakdown from Lifehacker shows it has better RAM, GPU performance, 3 times faster than any other phone, and a larger capacity battery than even the iPhone. This looks like Android's first real break into the AT&T product line and will be the phone I'll get when I'm due for an upgrade. And this is from Brandon the Cylon?
Cylon. Don't you watch Battlestar Galactica?
You know what? Just in one email.
Wasn't
I think
that
I
part of the interview
of
process?
Boom, gone.
How did you get hired for this job without knowing what a Cylon is? No, I'm just kidding. Yes.
I'll have to do remedial Battlestar Galactica.
You will. There's your homework.
He makes a really good point. They had a big launch event for the Galaxy back in New York, I think on June 29th. There's going to be a big push on this. And, we haven't really talked about what you would get if you were an AT&T subscriber and you don't want the iPhone.
Yeah, and AT&T has really locked down its other Android phones that it's put on. It's put these horrible UIs on them. It's crippled them. So the Galaxy looks like the best chance, the best last hope of the Android on AT&T crowd. But it's also coming out on every carrier in the United States, right?
Yeah, that's what he's inferring. I didn't realize that. I'm going to get with the Samsung people and get me one of these phones. I want to be checking it out.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for watching or listening, however you consumed tech news today. We are back. It's good to have you back, Becky.
Yeah, my pleasure. I'll sober up soon.
Give us an email, tnt@twit.tv. Send us a phone call or a voicemail, 260-TNT-SHOW. You can also email us links to your videos to tnt@twit.tv, and we may play them on the show as well. Check us out, twit.tv/TNT. We'll see you later.
Bye.